This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Whoa, okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour one on this Wednesday. The good-looking crew that is the Danettes, along with yours truly. Gang's all here, including the great Todd Fritz. Didn't do well yesterday in the looks department as far as the rating system.
Q3.
You were a Q3. Nothing wrong with that.
And I got a 2, I believe.
No, nowhere to go but up. Come on in, stay a while. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of this program. Good morning if you're watching on Peacock. Thank you for allowing us into your home, our streaming partner. And our radio affiliates, we are at 400 cities around America that carry this program. First hour brought to you by Discover. Discover Card, you have access to 24/7 customer service, $0 fraud liability. That means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Learn more at discover.com/credit card. Limitations, like Fritzy, do apply. Dan Orlovsky of the Mothership will join us coming up as we start to handicap the conference championship games. That'll be here in about 15 minutes. The Eagles have bounced their offensive coordinator, and they got a long list that might be helping Nick Sirianni. Still don't know if they're keeping him, but I think the owner and the coach are going to have a joint press conference here at some point this week to announce if Nick Sirianni is coming back. All righty. Jim Harbaugh to the Chargers, that seemed to heat up a little bit yesterday. It's speculation right now. The Raiders got a GM, Tom Telesco, who did a good job with the Chargers as far as bringing in talent. And if you get an experienced GM to go along with a rookie head coach, that's a nice combo platter. The Milwaukee Bucks need a new head coach. 43 games in. Adrian Griffin was let go.
Excuse me.
There was a report last night from CNN Sports, and CNN Sports doesn't exist, but
excuse me?
CNN Sports reporting that Doc Rivers was going to take the job. TNT said that they had they'd followed up on it, and they signed off on it, that CNN Sports was breaking, no name attached to it. CNN Sports. And having been a part of CNN Sports, I'm very proud to see CNN Sports back in the news, but there is no CNN Sports, and Doc Rivers hasn't been given the job, or he hasn't taken the job, at least not yet.
Rachel Nichols is very offended by all this comment, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes, Paul.
So there's no longer CNN Sports. There's Turner Sports or TNT Sports?
It's just TNT.
TNT.
And okay. I guess there's Turner Sports.
Because I saw the same thing yesterday. It said CNN Sports. Like, is this new? Is it old? Is it?
Well, there's no reporter's name attached to it. Just said CNN Sports. And somebody put it out there. I thought, okay, bringing back CNN Sports.
They're back.
Yeah. Maybe Doc Rivers, I guess, was an unofficial consultant to the Bucks with Adrian Griffin. But Adrian Griffin... after 43 games, shown the door, and they have one of the better records in basketball right now. But apparently, the window is really small for the Bucks because they went all in on Dame, and this is an older team, one of the older teams in the NBA, and they gave up Drew Holiday, they got Dame, they gave up draft picks. They gave up their perimeter defense. Their defense isn't very good. And I think that's part of the reason why Adrian Griffin was fired. He wanted them to play an aggressive style of defense, but they don't have the manpower to be able to do that. And I think the players, there was a players' revolt there. Now, they could have had Nick Nurse. And I don't think some of the players wanted, they chose Adrian Griffin. And then Mike Budenholzer got fired last May. Like, you see this now, where if you win, how long is that window where, hey, I can get by on a subpar season, or if we get bounced in the first round? It's not a long, you know, rope here. You know, Joe Maddon, what he did with the Cubs, see ya. Doug Peterson with the Eagles, see ya. Doesn't take long. But with the Bucks, this is a small window here because you got some older guys, Lopez and Dame. I think they were trying to play a style that they weren't comfortable playing, but they are a bad defensive team, or at least they were, and he was trying to shore that up. The problem is they got rid of their best perimeter defender in Drew Holiday to bring in Dame Lillard. All right, what's poll question we're going with today, Seton?
Why don't we start with the Bucks? The Bucks firing first-year head coach Adrian Griffin is admitting a mistake or making a mistake?
Ooh. Oh, I would say admitting a mistake. I mean, they're winning. I think it bothered maybe the players, maybe ownership of how they were winning. A lot of close games. And it was more of we're outscoring people. And that's the mindset of some of these teams, you know, like the Pacers. You know, they're trying to outscore you. They bring in Pascal Siakam. They add more scoring here. They want to outscore you. Hey, we might not be able to outdefend you, but we can outscore you. Yes, Marv.
Maybe we should blame the Pistons because they had a close game against the Pistons, I think, Monday night. I think it was tied up at halftime.
Mm.
So I'm sure Giannis was like, wait, if we're tied up with the Pistons, we got the wrong coach.
Yeah. What else do you have, Seton? And if they bring in Doc Rivers, you know, great. That's an upgrade. And if he's already been an unofficial consultant there, then, you know, that's fine. But also, you got to factor in Doc Rivers' track record here. He's had more disappointments probably than any other coach playoff history.
We don't got to bring that up.
No, you do have to bring it up. Because after a while, it's not a coincidence. Love Doc, but his lack of success in the postseason is alarming. All right, Seton.
Doc Rivers and the Bucks will be better or about the same.
Well, this might be a move that you're hoping morale improves, therefore things will improve. Because if you got a coach that you don't get along with, you don't like, you're bringing Doc Rivers in to be an unofficial consultant, and he's a rookie coach, then I think things will be better. Now, I don't know if anybody else is up for that job, but you have a team that has to win right now because it's not going to be pretty in about 2 or 3 years. And I think with Giannis, and Giannis says, hey, this is where I want to be, my team forever. How long can you get Dame being Dame? Is Chris Middleton going to take the next step? Lopez is one of the older big men in the game. Yes, Seton.
I do appreciate the Bucks being all in.
Okay.
We have to win right now.
Okay.
We don't have the time for, and Adrian Griffin, I would love for him to get a shot as a Seton Hall guy. That would be great. But I understand the idea that like we only have these players for a certain window and we need to get rings and we don't have time for this dude to work out his rookie mistakes. I do appreciate that.
I was just surprised that a team that's a veteran team and having a rookie head coach.
Yeah.
I didn't understand it. I thought, oh, God, now, you know, he had waited, you know, whatever, 2 decades to get this opportunity. But sometimes when you bring a rookie coach in with veterans, that doesn't work. Mm. You know, look at David Blatt with the Cavs. He got run. You know, like LeBron looked around and went, wait, I got David Blatt coaching me. And they were they had a good record when they got rid of him. Yes, Marvin.
Then they won the NBA title that same season.
Yeah. We had Ty Lue there on the bench, mm-hmm. and they're like, come on in. We don't need David Blatt. But, and maybe they didn't. And maybe they made, well, they made the right move, I guess. David Blatt disappeared. They won a championship. So I think, you know, they made a decision. It's an abrupt decision. You don't even make it to the All-Star game. And you would think, with that kind of record, that you'd be able to at least have a stay of execution. But not the case. By the way, a couple of Hall of Fame members, new members, Adrian Beltre, Joe Mauer, and Todd Helton went into the Hall of Fame. It was one of those where I went, wait, oh, they're announcing this today. And I just thought it kind of disappeared in there, in the sports world. And I understand it with whatever, you know, everything that goes on, certainly with the NFL. But, I mean, baseball can't be this far down the totem pole where you go, hey, Hall of Fame. I mean, it used to be a big deal. I mean, it's still a big deal to go into the Hall of Fame, but just the buildup. And I know we tend to, it feels like every year, when we have players go in or don't go in, we get back to the same kind of arguments here. Is Adrian Beltre, you know, worthy of 95% of the votes? No, he's not. Is Joe Mauer a first ballot Hall of Famer? No, I don't think so. Todd Helton with his numbers? Okay. How much was that Coors Field? These are all really, really good players. But Beltre was a compiler. Now, he did have 5 gold gloves, but when you mention great third baseman of all time, Adrian Beltre, given his vote total, is right there. George Brett, Mike Schmidt, maybe one other third baseman in there that I'm missing. Brooks Robinson, maybe. Joe Mauer, winning batting titles as a catcher, certainly helped, but he prolonged his career by moving to first base. Todd Helton, helped out by Coors Field, had incredible numbers, a batting average of like .315 for his career. So it's interesting, but baseball did this to itself because we had these incredible numbers, and then all of a sudden we don't validate those numbers. So now you're getting back to maybe more of what is real in baseball, or at least we hope. But as far as superstars, you got Ohtani and you got Bryce Harper. Anybody else in there? Kershaw's not a superstar anymore. So that, you know, we're waiting for Mike Trout to be a star from the, you know, from fame, you know, that you're playing in big games, you know, obviously a first ballot Hall of Famer, but, you know, baseball loses some of that star power. And, you know, baseball can blame itself for a lot of that. Baseball's big in the local markets, but it's just not the national pastime anymore. And I think baseball, with what we thought were real numbers, and they're not real numbers, now back to what maybe are real numbers as we move forward, that, you know, the bar is lowered a little bit here of who's getting in, what is required. But first ballot Hall of Famer, Joe Mauer, great player, not a first ballot Hall of Famer. Adrian Beltre, not a first ballot Hall of Famer. Great numbers, compiler, and then Todd Helton, getting in, made the jump from, I think he was in the 60s last year. And I don't know if any of these other guys are going to get in because it always comes down to, well, what about Pete Rose? Pete's not getting in. What about A-Rod? Not getting in. Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds. It's a museum. Yeah, we've had these discussions for many, many years. If you're going to put them in a museum, then have the plaque represent really who they were or are. And I have no problem if people want that in the Hall of Fame. It's your Hall of Fame. It's the fans. It's a museum. You want to do that? It's just, I don't want those guys to benefit, be rewarded if they cheated the game. Because then everybody else, you know, players had to do the same. And just the trickle down of, if you don't do it, you're going to be left in the dust here. And, you know, you hear a variety of reasons of that guy was a Hall of Famer before he used steroids. No, it's your entire career. You know, you can't be father of the year and then you cheat on your wife and then you leave your wife, but you were father of the year. No, it doesn't work that way. It's the totality here. Clemens, Bonds, yeah, great. You were on the road to the Hall of Fame and you screwed it up. A-Rod, you screwed it up. Nobody else did. You guys did. And you guys got paid handsomely for this. Do I appreciate what I saw? Yes. Do I believe what I saw? No. But at the time, you're watching, and you know everybody seemed to sign off that you know everybody's good on this, clean on this, no issues here. But we know, and I just don't want to see those players rewarded. If you want them in the Hall of Fame, if the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Fame is separate from baseball. If the Hall of Fame wants them on the ballot, or they want to put Pete Rose in or on the ballot, they can do that. And if you want those players in there, what's their plaque look like? Then fine. Yeah. It's I'm tired of fighting it, or at least objecting to it, because I was around it. And it's not that I go, boy, now I feel guilty. I have to speak up. It's just I saw it, and I think baseball did a poor job in policing that. And we created fictitious numbers here. We did. And people say, well, you know, you still got to hit the baseball. Yes, if you get to the major leagues, you already know how to hit the baseball. But if you hit the baseball further, then that's the benefit. I mean, Ben Johnson knew how to run, but then he used steroids to help him run even faster. So the fastest human ever. So I once again, I don't want this to be, you know, turn into a discourse or referendum on this. We've been down this road before, and maybe baseball changes where it's the Hall of Really Good or Very Good that we're looking at, that they aren't these, you know, superstars, or at least when we were growing up. You know, Don Mattingly, to me, that's a Hall of Famer. Injury cut short his career. Kirby Puckett got in. Injury cut short his career. Terrell Davis got in. Injury. Gale Sayers. You know, baseball, they could look at Don Mattingly and put him in the Hall of Fame. I don't think anybody would have a problem with that. Yes, Marv.
Do you think because when Don Mattingly was the best player on the Yankees, they weren't very good?
Yeah.
Does that hurt him? Because Kirby Puckett, they were on like World Series teams when he was there.
Yes. I think he won two titles, but Donnie missed out by a year. You know, he battled that back injury, and then the Yankees got good, but he couldn't play any longer. But, you know, someone like Steve Nash, bad back, didn't win anything, any titles, won a couple MVPs, but he's a Hall of Famer. You know, we have careers that are cut short, and, you know, you could make that argument for Donnie Baseball. All right, we got sidetracked there. I promised myself that I wouldn't get sidetracked, but I did. I got sucked back into the vortex that is Baseball Hall of Fame voting. All right, we'll turn our attention to the playoffs coming up this weekend. We'll talk to Dan Orlovsky. He's in the on-deck circle. We're back after this on the Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the 5th Hour with Ben Maller. It would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the 5th Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the 5th Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests. And in tournaments, to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Settle on a poll question. Get to phone calls as well. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Multiple reports indicate Michigan continues its full court press to come to terms with a 9-year contract that would pay Jim Harbaugh $11.5 million a year. He's also had a couple of meetings, perhaps a dinner with the Chargers. And right now, we're still waiting to hear if Jim Harbaugh is using the Chargers as leverage to get an even bigger deal, or maybe vice versa. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. It was announced last night the Bucks had fired their head coach, Adrian Griffin, after 43 games, and that Doc Rivers might be in the on-deck circle. We're lucky enough to have Doc Rivers here in studio, so I can ask Doc. Doc, are you taking the Bucks job?
Dan, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what CNN Sports is, but I don't know anything about this. I would love an opportunity to get back into the NBA, but I got nothing further on that. I have not heard from the Bucks or any other organization looking to hire me as their
head coach. All righty. Thank you, Doc. Thank you, Doc. I appreciate that.
Long-winded, Doc.
Yeah, I think that was one breath. Thank you, Tom.
Got to stay within ourselves.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom. Dan Orlovsky of the Mothership, part of NFL Live. You can watch Monday through Friday at 4 Eastern on ESPN. It feels like most of the talk in the first couple of days after these games over the weekend have to do with people defending or criticizing Josh Allen or defending or criticizing Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Why?
Obviously I was on the whole day Monday doing the defending of Josh. I think part of, or the focal point for the defending or conversation around Josh is it doesn't make sense if you're a sports person that he's lost. You know, that's the part where you sit there and go, sports usually is the meritocracy. Like, you get what you deserve or you get what you earn at some point, maybe not all the time, but at some point. And, you know, for so many instances in that matchup, that quarterback has played to a level where you sit there and say, absolutely deserves to win the game, or absolutely has earned that win. And for the third time in a row, you sit there and go, it didn't happen, you know, and he became a lightning rod this year because of the conversation of turnovers and everyone that was, you know, trying to make that the focal point of his game. And so I think it just became this overwhelming conversation, because if Josh had thrown the, you know, two interceptions on Sunday night's game, it would have been different. But he played at such a remarkable level that it became this, like, well, dude, you should win that game. But then the crowd that wants to, you know, hate on him used it, well, you lost. And then I think for Brock Purdy, I mean, there's a reality, Danny didn't play good for the first, you know, 3+ quarters. And so, you know, for the crowd that isn't the Brock Purdy group. It's, well, I told you so. Finally, we got there. And then he has the game-winning drive, and everyone's like, well, game winner. You know, that has to matter at some point. So it's kind of what you're going into narrative fits around.
But also, I think that we want Josh Allen to be on the same level as Patrick Mahomes. We're wishing that. And he's probably on the level with Lamar Jackson. He's not on the level with Patrick Mahomes. Talking about success. I mean, Lamar hasn't done anything in the playoffs, but he's got two MVPs. But it just feels like we're trying to create a Brady, Manning, you know, Marino, Montana. Like, we want that. It's just we want competition for Mahomes, and it's just not there.
Yeah, I love Patrick. This is Patrick's fault, though. You know, there is that reality. I say that all the time. You know, that's why some kids get drafted in the first round. I go, it's Patrick's fault, you know? So Patrick is this. He's the guy to blame for this. Yeah, I mean, but to put that into context, right? He's not on Patrick's level. If Patrick's a 10 out of 10 or 100 out of 100, he is the next number down, Josh Allen. And it's fair to say that he's not on that level because he hasn't had that playoff win or whatnot. But the numbers and performances would say that he is, you know, like that's the hard part of that, Dan, is like when you're 0-3 versus a guy in the playoffs, but those three playoff runs, you have 22 touchdowns and one interception. You go, how?
Yeah.
When you're a guy who's got two seasons of 50 plus touchdowns and not in the championship game, you go, how? You're the only person ever. So yeah, we can't put him on Patrick's level. But it's not like it's, you know, a level that is in such a distance. And I think part of it too is, you know, the Bills fan base. As much as you might hate sports or you might hate your rivals' fan bases, I think a lot of people root for the Bills. A lot of people root for their fan base. A lot of people root because of some of their playoff mishaps in the past. And so it's a lot in the way the game ended. You know, if the 13-second game from a couple years ago, you're like, there's no humanly possible way. This past week, if they got beat 35-10, we're not having these conversations. You know, if that field goal goes in and Patrick drives them down and they get a game-winning field goal, we're not having these conversations. It's also attached to how the game ended.
Tougher to defend when they're at their peak, Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes?
Yes. You know, I still would say Patrick. And I would say Patrick, both of them are guys that you could have the perfect play call as a defensive coordinator. All 11 people on your defense could play it absolutely perfect and it wouldn't matter. Both of them are in that group. Patrick, because Patrick has made more you should not do that throws than Lamar has. For me, Lamar's probably made more oh my gosh runs than Patrick has. And I've also seen Patrick do it in the moment, you know, and so I would probably say Patrick, but again, it's not far off.
How do the Lions get to the Super Bowl?
Number one, I don't know who's calling that game. I don't know what analyst is calling it. They're going to use the phrase pin pull and choice a ton. That's a run scheme. You know, you pin the outside, you pull guys around. San Francisco is vulnerable to that. Everybody that has played San Francisco tough and beaten them has had success with that. Arizona did. Green Bay had 100 yards on just that run last week. Detroit majors in it. They love it. So Detroit's got to dominate in that aspect. Number two, Jared's got to toe the line between like being reactive and proactive. I've seen Jared become reactive in these moments, and you don't want him to be reactive. You want him to be proactive. Move people with your eyes. Trust what they're telling you. And then they got three guys that they run what we call a choice route stand. So you give these guys just the opportunity, hey, go get open type stuff. So it's Laporta, Gibbs, and Amon-Ra. And that's rare. Most teams have one. McCaffrey for San Francisco is really the guy. If those three guys are really good in that route concept, it's hard to not like get open and hard to defend. I think if they can be really good in that, they win.
I think the big concern with the Niners has been that front. Like they don't get after people the way, I mean, they have the names to get after people, but they haven't. That to me has been alarming.
Yeah, both lines of scrimmage, you know, have to be a concern if you're Kyle Shanahan, because their defensive line has not dominated. Advantage Detroit. I think this is, I could very much so see this being a game where we come out going, my goodness, Detroit's offensive line. You can't dominate a football game more. And I think that's the viewpoint if you're Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell. And again, I think for everybody at home who's trying, watch runs out on the perimeter, out on the edge. And then, you know, their defensive line, I would tell you this too, their right tackle, he is going to get a full game of Aiden Hutchinson. If I was Aaron Glenn, and who's been great as a defensive coordinator, Aiden Hutchinson is going to get as many one-on-one opportunities versus San Francisco's right tackle as possible, and that's advantage Detroit.
We're talking to Dan Orlovsky of the Mothership. You can catch him on NFL Live Monday through Friday at 4 Eastern on ESPN. You came out same year that Joe Mauer came out of high school?
Is that right? Yes, same year. This is a dead-on story. Tom Lemming was doing – he was like the big – high school recruiting guy that he had the Tom Lemming Report magazine, that stuff. This is in 2000, maybe 2000. And I remember I had to go up to do a photo shoot for his magazine, and you're looking through the names of guys or whatnot. And he just kept talking about this dude named Joe Mauer. And so I go to, I think they were the Midwest or whatnot, or the Great Lakes group or whatever. And I look at his picture, and Joe's picture does not look like a, you know, three sport All-American, certainly the number one player in both sports. And I'm like, this dude's the best quarterback and baseball player in the country, because he had this like Midwestern, like almost toupee type of hairstyle. And you're like, what? And so, yeah, he was the guy. I remember all of like him. He was going to Florida State to play quarterback, and then obviously picked baseball and whatnot. But he was like known around the park just because he was so good.
Yeah, and he picked the right sport, because you can make the most money and, you know, have long, like Jeff Smarja with Notre Dame.
Smarja, yeah. I mean, Joe was the number one pick, right? Joe Mauer ended up being the number one pick for Minnesota, yeah.
Yeah. He picked the right sport. All right, you could take Belichick or Harbaugh.
Harbaugh.
Okay.
Not even close for me. When it comes to, like, from my viewpoint, he's the best quarterback developer we have in the game. That's available, certainly. If we talk about Josh Johnson and then Alex Smith and then Colin Kaepernick, and then obviously what he's done with J.J. McCarthy, he's the best quarterback developer when it comes to how we get these guys to play at their very best. So I would be a little bit concerned in regards to with Coach Belichick, and how poorly it went with Mac Jones. Obviously, he's got the Tom Brady in his belt as well. But are you bringing those people that developed Tom Brady? Like, who is he bringing with him in regards to his offensive staff, I think, is a huge part of that conversation.
What do you think the odds are that Belichick gets frozen out here, that maybe he's not a head coach this next season?
I still don't know. I still see him getting a job somewhere. You know, like, obviously, we'll see what happens with Coach Harbaugh and whatnot. You continue to hear Coach Belichick's name around Atlanta. I would be surprised if he gets frozen out. But, again, I don't know. You've heard these conversations from the outside of, hey, look at his staff. I get hit up by people, of, like, look at Coach Belichick's staff. Look at his staff. Look at his staff. And that's the weak part. And so you got to – who's going to be his offensive coordinator? Because Bill O'Brien's in Penn State. Is it going to be Josh? I don't know. So I think that's part of that.
Well, I also wonder with the Chargers, because Harbaugh would be great. I think Pete Carroll back in Southern California running the Chargers would make more sense.
Would be awesome.
I can't see Bill going to the Commanders. The Raiders' job is closed. You got Atlanta. He's not going to do Carolina, I don't think.
Right. It feels like Atlanta, right?
Yeah, Atlanta, and that's it.
Yeah.
But it feels like, okay, two interviews. Has it gone on a little, because you can hire him right now. Has it gone on a little too long? I mean, it has for me, where I have more doubt now than I did before.
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole conversation around Coach Belichick, are one of the most important ones, you know, really from the jump, has been how much say he wants in personnel. You know, the last 10 drafts in New England have been bad. So is Terry Fontenot, who's the general manager in Atlanta, is he giving up power to select? Is he giving up power and final say? How much does, you know, Coach Belichick want. I said this yesterday, Dan. You've been around it longer than me, and I don't pay attention to it, or certainly haven't as much. But, you know, the more that maybe some of these conversations or calls come in for me as well, like, does this coaching cycle just feel like it's taken a long time? I feel like teams have moved faster in the past than they are right now. And I know Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson are very much so still in that conversation. Todd Monken, so maybe they're waiting on those guys, but I don't know.
How many interviews have you had with teams?
I don't know if they're full interviews yet. You know, I'm still in the season and whatnot. I've had conversations and been hit up by people in teams, yes. But I haven't dove into, you know, full go interview or anything like that.
Well, how does that work though? They just reach out?
I get reached out to.
Okay.
Yeah, you get reached out to and said, hey, you know, this is the vision, you know, whether staying or going somewhere, would love to sit down and talk with you about a role in some capacity. Title is always something that nowadays, you know, it's a, I guess, like a fluid conversation or maybe not necessarily a very specific thing, but you just get contacted by people and, hey, what's your interest level, all that stuff. It's always very, very, very flattering.
Well, you can't get that kind of competition sitting in a sterile studio. You can never replicate that after you get done playing,
yeah.
But this is as close as you're going to get. So I certainly understand what that pull could be, that draw. But you do have, you have a great job. It's like I remember telling John Gruden, like, if you give up Monday Night Football, you won't get it back.
Yeah, yeah. No doubt. I love my job. I love working for ESPN. I love working for people like Burke Magnus and Jimmy Pitaro. And those dudes have been awesome for me. And I love working with the people that I get to work with. I do say this, though, and I'm very aware of how fortunate I am. The more I get away from being done playing, the greater the pull back to it, just because of the competitive drive. You know, like, Lewis Riddick and I walk the field with Fowler every time we do a Monday Night Football game. And Lewis always gets to the point, and we'll kind of look at each other, and he always says, like, man, this is the best. Your juices just get going, and it's all you know. And, you know, it's that pull to be a part of that is you know, I don't know if it'll ever go away, but I can say it certainly gets stronger as the years go on.
Well, good luck with the Seahawks, Dan.
Seattle, I'll tell you this. So when you fly to Seattle, you feel like you're flying to Mars, man. You are out there. So,
but if you live there, you don't have to fly there.
That's a good point. Good point.
Good to talk to you. Thank you, Dan.
You too, bud. Thank you.
Dan Orlovsky of the Mothership, part of NFL Live, Monday through Friday at 4 Eastern. You know, he started to talk about when people reach out to you, and I'm like, well, wait a minute here. Hold on. You're bearing the lead here. Because I thought that maybe when Jeff Saturday was with the Colts that he was going to go and work for Saturday with the Colts, which wouldn't have been a good move because Saturday's no longer doing that and he would probably be out of a job. You know, it's hard to give that up. You know, you got a good job. It's hard to give that up. But you got to put yourself in the position of these coaches. And a lot of these guys are former players. You're trying to find that. Like, you want that aggressive, that competitive, like, I can get back out there. Instead of going to Bristol, Connecticut and sitting in a studio with a couple other guys who themselves would love to be back out on the field in some capacity. But, yeah, he's only 40. He'll probably get an opportunity here soon. All right, we'll take a break. Our play of the day is up next. Your poll question and your phone calls as well.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time, so saddle up for all the action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses, then watch the races live right there on the app. Download the DK Horse app now. New customers get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with the code DP. Only on the DK Horse app.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus, 21 plus in certain states to open or access an account and a resident of a state where DK Horse is available. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Match calculated on first deposit up to a maximum of $250. Deposit requires two-time playthrough of settled wagers within 168 hours. Bonus released in $25 increments. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at DKHorse.com.
Oh my God.
The play.
The play is called play.
Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
I'm gonna play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Eight to shoot. Give it to Murray. Gotta go, gotta go. Give it to Jok. Jokic. Gonna hoist. Long range. Good again! Good again! Nikola Jokic is the bomb! 114-109.
That's courtesy of Altitude Sports. Joker with a league-leading 13th triple-double of the season. That's your play of the day, brought to you by the great folks in Las Vegas, a city where spectacle and celebration are woven into the fabric of the community. Las Vegas, where conventional is challenged, the unexpected embraced. It's not just celebrating, it's celebrating with an edge. Mel Kiper's mock draft, his first mock draft, is out. Got the Bears taking Caleb Williams, the Commanders taking the Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels, and the Patriots get Drake May. Arizona would take Marvin Harrison Jr. III, and the Chargers would take the Georgia tight end, Brock Bowers. So that's his first mock draft so far. And I don't know how much changes. I know Jaden Daniels has been rocketing up the draft boards here. I think once teams get with Drake May, he could end up the number two pick. Caleb Williams seems like he's firmly cemented in there as the number one pick, which means the Bears would be moving on from Justin Fields. Some phone calls here. 877-3DP-SHOW. Mike in Louisiana. Hi, Mike. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan, thanks for taking my call. 6-1-2-20. I have a question for you. Is Bill Belichick considered the greatest coach, or is he just the most successful coach? Without Tom Brady, he really hadn't had any success anywhere else.
But he had Tom Brady, and he made the most of Tom Brady. So the greatest coach and the most successful coach, what's the difference?
Well, I'm saying if you're a great coach, you're going to have success. But you could be a successful coach and not necessarily the greatest coach, but you have the greatest player.
Well, he had to develop. He had teams that had different personalities. He had, defense. He won his first couple of Super Bowls thanks to his defense. Then they had one of the greatest offenses in NFL history. It felt like he could take whatever he had and make it work against you. But Is he the greatest coach in NFL history? Yes. Most successful coach? Yes. Is Tom Brady the greatest player in NFL history? He's got, you know, more success, but if you're talking about talent, is he greater than Lawrence Taylor? Is he greater than Jim Brown? See, that's where it gets tricky. He's the most successful. He's got the resume. But when you say, who's the greatest basketball player of all time? I don't think there's any argument because we look at Michael Jordan as the most talented and the resume there. But with football, it's trickier because you got somebody playing offense, somebody playing defense. Baseball, who's the greatest baseball player of all time? Well, I would say Babe Ruth because he was a pitcher and a hitter and one of the greatest hitters of all time and probably could have been a 300-game winner as just a pitcher. You know, we get into what talent you have and then what do you do with your talent. Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has won Super Bowl. Is he more talented than Tom Brady? Yes. Yeah, physically, sure. But that doesn't mean you've cashed in on all that talent. And, you know, Brady is, I guess it's a backhanded compliment that you're not athletic, but you figured out how to beat everybody. And he did, and he has. And that's why he's considered the greatest. I always say greatest quarterback of all time. I think when you get to greatest, like, is he greater than Jerry Rice? I don't know. But I think if you're looking at quarterback, and we look at quarterback and we say that makes you the best player in football. Okay. I mean, we can have discussions about that. Yes, Marv.
And even with wide receiver, you can still say that about Jerry Rice. Randy Moss might be the most talented wide receiver ever, but he's not the greatest.
Yeah, I agree. John in Illinois. Hi, John. What's on your mind today?
Morning, Dan and the boys.
Hey, bud.
John, Illinois, 5'10", 180. Interesting to see Dan Orlovsky with a Stream Song golf complex golf cap on, because I thought he was like the hardest working guy in football. But I know if you ever get the chance to go southwest of Lakeland, Florida, there are four championship golf courses down there, and you can just fly your jet helicopter down there to join in with everybody else.
Absolutely. Thank you, John. I just have to get that helicopter. By the way, Mel Kiper has J.J. McCarthy going to the Seahawks, the 16th pick overall. Feels like he's going to go in the top 20. I think another mock draft had him going to Denver. But, all right, J.J. McCarthy. You know, it's strange because Harbaugh has his style. It's a physical style. They ran the football. They played great defense. But you have a quarterback that, you know, Jim is saying is greatest quarterback in Michigan history. But I never saw, and, it, you know, they didn't need to rely on him to beat teams. But you did have this great quarterback, but you had an even better offensive line and running game. And I always found that it was sort of this dichotomy of, God, I got all this talent, but I don't use him to beat you. We use our running game. And they had a great offensive line, and you had two really good running backs. But that is Jim's style. Power football. All right, 1 hour in the books, two more to go. Seton, would you update the poll results from the first hour?
Yeah, Dan, we have up there, Bucks firing first-year head coach Adrian Griffin is making a mistake or admitting a mistake. Right now, 74% of the audience have admitting a mistake.
Yeah, just feels like it was a bad mix. Bad marriage. Pulled the ripcord on that.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone
anytime with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Owning a Mercedes-Benz EV isn't just extraordinary, it's extra easy. With full remote access to your vehicle from your phone via the Mercedes Me Connect app, the vehicles are all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. The choice is all yours. Learn more. MBUSA.com/EQ.